Talking with Mr. Tom Travis, the pilot's pilot.
A pilot's pilot. That's a very interesting
perspective. Apparently the FAA knows him very well from all the... What do you mean? This guy's got another check ride? What's going on here?
Well, you know, what cracks me up about this is the one anecdote was that somebody bought an airplane, read the pilot's manual, and then is sitting there telling Tom... Oh yeah, this is how you fly the airplane, and you never said anything to the gentleman. That's great self-control.
And did he prove himself worthy of a talking to later?
No, just listen. You learn something occasionally.
I was going to say that this is the kind of person that occasionally winds up having a very interesting talk with the FAA or the NTSB.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't wish that on anybody, but you know. You've got to pay attention to what you're doing. Tom, two questions here. Both are kind of related. One is, what was the worst thing that ever happened to you while you were in flight?
They ran out of peanuts.
Yeah. Coffee maker broke one time. That's pretty much it. Airline flying was pretty much routine.
It wasn't 99% boredom and 1% total terror?
Well, occasionally, but there was no real emergencies. We lost a few engines in the early days. But as the years went by, maintenance got so much better.
As the years went by, they found them.
Yeah. technology improved, and mechanical issues became less and less.
What do you think about the reliability of today's engines as compared to those when you were first getting started?
Oh, they're phenomenal. They're just run for thousands of hours now.
Did you ever have like an approach into icing and bad weather that was much more memorable than a lot of others?
Yeah, I remember one time landing in Brussels, Belgium in a snowstorm. And landing was fine, went into reverse, but there was snow on the runway. And as we slowed below 100 knots, the thrust reversers were throwing snow forward, so you couldn't see anything. Had to come out of reverse to see where we were, back into reverse, back forward thrust, back. And it was interesting.
Yeah, I don't think that was in the flight manual.
No, not at all. Tom, what was your best day in aviation?
You know, I guess the day I soloed.
There you go. That's a common thread. Tell us about it. What'd you do? What plane were you flying?
Aronica 7AC Champ. And it was a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Everything just went great. On downwind leg, I looked back and saw I was really by myself and laughed and thought, this is wonderful.
Said, okay, who can I get to put in the back seat? Speaking of that, you knocked on doors in the dormitory in college to try and find people to go for a ride?
Yeah, absolutely.
To pay you?
Had a friend who was a crop duster pilot, and he was giving me dual and going to college. In fact, I think he's here today. I'd love to see him, Nelson Hyatt. And he would go with me and give me the dual, and I would sell the two back seats to pay for it.
See that? He already knew he was going to be a commercial pilot.
You know he's going to have the back seat, and that Pete rented out, too.
Yeah. Flim-flam artist.
Yeah, he's trying to figure out if he can stick an extra seat in there. You know, airlines are always like that, try and cram one more person in the airplane.
Well, you know, this is not the first time that I've heard of a pilot being creative with financing flying lessons, either. There are a lot of stories.
Well, at least his is legal.
Well, yeah, that's true. Sounds like you had a great time. Nothing uneventful happened during your solo or anything?
No, not at all. It was a beautiful, beautiful flight. The next day, the instructor never explained to me that I wasn't supposed to go again by myself, so I went and got the airplane, took off, went out of state and buzzed a girlfriend's house.
bad pilot.
There were people waiting for you when you got back, weren't there?
You know, the airport manager was waiting because a crosswind had come up and we hadn't covered that part of flying yet.
Oh, man.
So after a few approaches, he got excited and was out there waving his arms. But
that didn't help much, did it?
Not much. It added to the stress.
Gee, oh, look, he's being really friendly today.
Yes, he is. I've never seen him this animated before. He must be really happy to see me. Yeah. Bet he was happy to see you when you got the airplane shut down.
He was glad to see his airplane in one piece.
Exactly, exactly. So they just skipped that part of the instruction. Okay, he's good on crosswinds.
Well, you know, Lauren Payne was harassing you significantly about hot air balloon ratings. Do you have any desire at all to go after hot air balloons?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to. Deb and I flew a hot air balloon once and just really enjoyed it. And I haven't gotten back around to it, but I'd love to fly a hot air balloon in an airship.
Well, there you go. You heard it first here. Lauren Payne,
okay,
eat
your
heart out.
Okay, we know who's going to win the blimp ride.
Yeah, yeah, we got that
right. You got him right here. Just don't even bother filling it. No, just kidding.
So what inspired you to build a Pete and Paul? What was the attraction?
Well, I was looking around for something just fun. You know, I have a Bonanza, so we've got a cross-country machine. Just needed some fun, whimsical, and that looked like the machine to go with.
Whimsical. That's why he's putting a jet engine on it.
Yeah, really. It'll be the world's first twin-engine jet Pete and Paul.
Supersonic Pete and Paul.
And of course, you're going to have a glass cockpit in this too, correct?
No, actually, I have a friend who loves all the gadgets. Glass cockpit in his Bonanza is just amazing. But I like the really simple, just less the better.
You're going to just have airspeed, compass, what else?
And a piece of yarn on the wing strut.
On the windshield, yeah.
As little as possible.
Yep.
Minimalist flying. You know, there's a lot to be said for that, and that's how the LSAs have come about. What do you think about LSAs?
Oh, I think they're really fun. There's so much technology evolved from them. And get so many more people involved. People who couldn't or wouldn't get involved in flying can do this now.
Now, I got a question for you. This I heard from an older gentleman many, many years ago. You planning on putting a radio and a starter on board this aircraft?
Well, a starter. And probably will have to have a radio because I live in Dallas area, so.
Okay.
Now, I get the feeling you're just going to have a handheld then.
Quite likely.
Yeah, well, it'd be the easiest way to go, actually.
Sure. Well, no, the reason I ask is because there's a lot of guys, especially guys that have been flying for years, they're tired of the radio atmosphere. They're tired of the traffic. They just want to go fly. Simple. So they build a simple airplane with no electrical systems. So they don't have to run a transponder and all this other stuff. And they just go hop around in the farmland for a while.
There's a lot of attraction to that.
Yeah, I'm beginning to understand that, and I'm not even a pilot.
Well, you know, the beauty of it all, and I've done this with model airplanes, is that after a particularly grueling day, there are a few things finer than to just go out and generate a little lift after work. It restores your attitude.
It really restores your attitude. You know, when I take off in an airplane, I just relax. It's just a very relaxing feeling.
Well, you know, in the same vein there, how does a pilot unwind? I mean, you've been flying airplanes all day. You're in love with this. This is supposed to be a great thing.
He sits on the ground and makes couch noises.
Yeah, really. Goes home and mows the lawn, I guess. I don't know. It's just amazing to see the variety of activities that pilots get into. And the one common theme is that most commercial pilots have a toy sitting back at the house.
That's true. Usually a boat or a motorhome or a motorcycle.
Something without wings.
Well, not only that, but a lot of them have airplanes. Some of them have just the putter around a pattern airplane. Some airline pilots are out there flying world-class aerobatic aircraft.
Well, we have a friend who's a commercial pilot, and he does not own his own airplane, but every now and then he gets to fly him, and he calls it getting his small airplane fix. So are you like that? Did you go out on the weekends and fly some more, even when you were done flying for the week?
Oh, yeah. Always had an airplane and would go out and just relax and fly around on the weekends.
You know, I'd hate to see how many $100 hamburgers he's eaten in his lifetime, or for that matter, EAA pancake breakfast, too. Mm-hmm. Bet you've been to a bunch of them.
I've been to a few of those.
Well, it doesn't show on you. You're very slim and trim, so obviously you found a way to work it off.
Well, thank you.
What was the first radial engine you flew?
First radio was probably a de Havilland Beaver. No, a Stearman.
I was going to say Beaver's a nice start. Stearman's a good start.
Stearman's a great start.
Well, you said you had a friend that was crop dusting. Was he using the Stearman for that?
No, we used Piper Pawnees and Super Cubs.
Okay.
Ever get any glider time?
Yeah.
What'd you think about soaring?
Only when
the
engine quit.
No, he didn't have that many engine failures.
Oh, okay.
What did you think about sailplanes?
Love sailplanes. They're just peaceful, quiet. It's real flying.
All right, here's the big one. Did you ever do any aerobatics?
Yes.
What'd you think of that?
Well, I enjoyed it.
On purpose?
Accidentally.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Whoops.
And what happens if I do this?
No, I tried to teach myself aerobatics and crop dusters, going back and forth to fields.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, that's a dangerous pursuit.
Nah, not necessarily. If you have enough altitude and you keep the airplane within the limits, I've heard stories of, I know of two people that have taken Aerostars, Piper Aerostars, at full gross and rolled them. I'm not going to say who, but I know it's
been
done.
Well, a roll is a 1G maneuver if done properly.
If done properly, Bob Hoover demonstrated that. Did you ever do that? Put the glass of water on the dashboard and let's see if we can keep the water in it. And
I would love to be that good.
It's I'll tell you what.
I would think that you're pretty good after 25,000 hours.
Yeah, probably well in excess of 25,000 hours by now. I'd hate to see actually how much time, how many years.
That's a lot of logbooks.
Based on a 40-hour work week, that has to be a significant amount of time in the air.
Well, I just looked at the logbooks last month, and this month, in fact, July marks 50 years.
Oh my!
Wow! So never got busted by the FAA.
Not yet.
Cool.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. I know of only one other pilot that's got a record like that. That's Dan Damio out
by the guys way. Must have been a couple of really boring pilots. Oh, no, just kidding.
No. Exactly. That's what you try to be. Very boring.
Exactly. You want it to be a forgettable flight, not one of those white-knuckle panic
things. Oh, yes. All right, Tom, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
And I hope you're enjoying your time here at Oshkosh.
Well, it's wonderful. Sure enjoy seeing all the airplanes and the people.
Hey, now, Tom.
Do you come back every year, or is that a dumb question?
I try to. Usually it works out about every other year.
Very good. Well, I was going to say, next time you're out here, come and look us up. We'd love to hear the progress on your Pete.
Well, thank you.
Very good. You're listening to Hot Start. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to us worldwide on EAA Radio.